Paul has to help them to understand this problem that has come up. And 1 Corinthians, like the book of James, is just full of problems that need to be resolved. Because if they are not resolved, they will keep coming back and they will not ever get resolved. And so Paul has to do all of these things he pointedly. And the problem here is of judging, right? And this is where we take a look at how judging is, how it is done. Okay, now this is the important text to read. Now, these things I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. So this is where Paul says, no, let's take a look at example between Paul and Apollos. Now, what happened in the church in Corinth was that they divided the two into two separate camps. So Paul had one camp, Apollos had another camp. And what Paul was really trying to say to them, that this is all wrong. And so I transferred, he says, to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. This is very important for us. What does it mean? Right? So let's take a look at the church at Corinth. Their obvious founder is the Apostle Paul, right? So he is called the founder of the church. That is important, right? So he is the sower. And Apollos is the one who came a little bit later and he watered, right? So instead of seeing them together as a team, one sows, the other one waters. Instead of seeing that, they saw them as separate things, the separate entities, and so therefore divided and started causing friction between the two groups. Now, then what happened was obviously factions. And factions of this kind are just simply not healthy, just not wise, certainly not blessed by God. In fact, it is sin. Right? So what is the problem here? And so Paul has to help them to understand. The problem is when we are puffed up, when we exalt one above another with undue pride. Well, there are some who would like to say that they are faithful to the Apostle Paul because he was the founder and Apollos is not. See, based on that alone, it becomes a problem. And they were going to talk about how profoundly wise Paul really was. And he was, no question about that. Right? So Paul is multi-talented. And so on and so forth. All of those things are correct and they are true. What about Apollos? Well, he's not an apostle, right? But he was gifted in speaking. He was eloquent and all that. So if you're looking at Apollos, we're looking at a person who is a very highly talented servant of God, right? But how do we appreciate the different people who are serving God in the same church? And the answer is very, very obvious. Don't exalt one above the other. The moment you start exalting one above the other, what we're going to do is that we're going to end up with literally becoming fractious. Being fractious literally means they become fragmented. They begin to think in terms of either or. And this is the kind of thing that you don't want to end up doing. Because what happens is that one will like the other and despise the other. So it's just so wrong one way or the other. Now that is a big problem. So Paul has to say, well, let's look at Paul and Apollos. Openly, he spoke about themselves. To me, that is a good thing to consider. Right? So now this is important. The danger of being puffed up is very real. And this puffed up will lead one to cite more than the other group. So citing one group, setting aside the other group, is just going to become fractious. The church is going to become fragmented, and this is a very real problem. Right? So how do we understand all of these things here? And this is important. So Paul went on to write, who makes you differ from another? Now, that is important. And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you literally boast as if you had not received it? Now, this goes as a little bit of a problem that is there. How do we understand it? All right. Now, this is where the analysis of Paul helps us to understand what we are looking at as the actual problem. Right? One, making a difference between one another. This is very important. Cannot we distinguish one from another? Answer, yes, we may. Because everyone is different. Different, each one has his own gift. Each one has his own approach. This one has his own skill. This one has his own ability. That's not a problem with appreciating the fact that all of us are different. But when the people begin to, as it were, differ in a wrong application, then we have a problem. So it's not noticing the differences. It is to exalt the differences to the point when the whole church becomes fractious. This is the problem. Right? So the divisive tendency is there. I belong to this group. You're either in this group or you're not. You're either in or you're out, kind of a thing here. And this created problems. All right. Paul is not interested in people following him. In chapter 1, we read. Chapter 2, he read. This problem is very real. And so he asks, what are we? One sows, another waters, God gives the increase. We are basically of the same team. But this problem of being fractious made it such that you have to belong to one group. You cannot speak in favor of another group. Otherwise, you are a person who will be accused of something or other that is wrong. And that is a wrong spirit. And that's what we are dealing with. Right? So let's take a look at what the whole problem is. Next problem. What do you have that you did not receive? Now, this was a real problem. Right? So along the way, some of the Corinthian church people grew in their faith, grew in their knowledge, grew in their understanding, grew in their stature. And some would grow better under Paul, some will grow better under Apollos. Right? And so that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a situation where the groups of people, we're not talking about baby Christians. We're not talking about people who have just started in their faith. We're talking about the reality that the fact is that they have grown somewhat. But where's the problem? Sometimes within their growth, they have not stopped to ask, how did they grow? And the answer is, you have received some knowledge. You received teaching. You received instruction. You receive inspiration, and that's how you grow. The problem is that they did not want to admit. So what did you have that you did not receive? Now, that is a big issue, right? What does it mean? Right? So they were actually boasting in their knowledge. They're boasting in their skills. They're boasting in the gifts that God has given them, as if they did not receive, as if by themselves they cultivated this gift, as if by themselves they had this knowledge, as if by themselves they can do all these things on their own. Reality is not true. They received the knowledge. They received the instruction. They received the inspiration. Nobody literally grows on their own. We all need help from somewhere, someone, somehow. And along the way, we grow. Now, we should understand and appreciate that very much. But very often, it is not well understood. Right? So Paul went on further. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? Right? Sort of, basically, they are just excluding the source. How did you come to this knowledge? And then it's almost, look at me. I came to this knowledge all by myself. How did I have this this understanding? How do I have this wisdom? Oh, no problem. I had it all myself. So literally, they cut off all the possible sources of information, instruction, encouragement, and they came up on their own and said, hey, listen, I did it all by myself. Now, was that even true? And the answer is no. Right? And that's very obvious. If they didn't have the Apostle Paul to come and preach the gospel to them, would their faith have grown? No. If Paul had not stayed 18 months teaching them every single day, helping the people to grow in their faith, would they have grown further? Answer, no. Paul was sowing the seed faithfully all the time. Now, along came Apollos. And Apollos is a person who is very skilled. He is able to bring across a message better. He communicates more effectively than perhaps even than Paul. And so he watered, and their faith grew further. And the problem is that they're going to deny either one, right? They're not going to say, oh, you know, I learned only because the Apostle Paul was there to teach, and it was my privilege to learn, and I learned well. And then I befriended Apollos, and he also very greatly encouraging. He explained to me things that I didn't really fully understand, I didn't fully comprehend, but now I understand my faith better. I have grown stronger. And that's how I grew. But none of them had that spirit of humility. None of them would acknowledge how they grew so well. Right? We read in 1 Corinthians how the Lord blessed them with so many different gifts. And it is a multi-talented church, no question about it. The problem is they're boasting as if they have not received anything from anybody. Sort of, you know, we did it our way. We did it, no problem. We just grew automatically. Well, that is just so not true. Then compounding the problem. In verse 8, Paul wrote, you are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. Right? In other words, we are looking at a situation where the people had literally, we read, those who are hunger and thirst, Lord tells us, they will be filled. And they were. Spiritually, they had been fed. They are full. But they stopped. They do not stop to think, how was I full? It would be the ministry, a different joint ministry of Paul, of Apollos, of Titus, and others who are associated with the church. That was not a problem if they had only acknowledged it. But no, they speak about, you know, we are full. We are rich, not necessarily physically, but they are wealthy. In a certain sense, they have a lot more knowledge than other people. They had a lot more talents compared to other churches. And of course, some of them were actually wealthy. They actually were able to gain things in life and make progress in life. That was not a problem. And so Paul said, you reign as kings without us. In other words, it's as if they have moved on physically in life, moved on spiritually in life. They made good progress, and they look backwards, and they would not acknowledge Paul or Apollos or anybody else. Yes, they're doing it without, hey, listen, you know where we are today? We are spiritually rich, we have knowledge, we have wisdom, we are active, we are faithful, and God has blessed us abundantly. Hey, listen, we don't have to talk about Paul or Apollos. We are on our own. And Paul asked, is that even true? Right? I wish you did reign. And then he also wished that we might reign with you. Basically, they have moved on to the point when they cut off any mention of Paul or Apollos. See, the fractious spirit is such that it may start off simply as, okay, I am Apollos, I am a Paul. So that's not good, but this is only a small problem. The bigger problem will come that as the fractious group begin to grow, And they think that they have knowledge now, they have got wisdom, they have skill, they have understanding, they have depth and everything else. And then they start discarding the people with the people whom once they associated with. So who is Paul? Look, we don't need him. Who is Paul? We also don't need him. And we are coming to that stage. And so Paul says, you look at yourself, look at where you are. You consider yourself as if you are full, you are rich, you are wealthy, you are like kings. Not that they were actual kings. You behave as if you are royalty. And what you've done is you set us adrift. You set us apart. You haven't thought about us. You haven't mentioned us. You haven't attributed anything to us at all. You reign without us. And so Paul is asking, why could we not have reigned with you? Right? Not that he's asking for a place. He just simply said, you know, let's speak that which is true. How did you come this far? How did you get to be where you are today? And the answer is very obvious. God gave to them people like Paul and Apollos so that they can be instructed further in their faith, that they can grow stronger, they become wiser, they can become more discerning. But what happened was that when they did grow, what they did was to discard. And they set aside Apollos and Paul in their ministries. And so they were just absolutely ungrateful for what they have learned and benefited from. And this is where the danger really is. Right? So that is where we must guard ourselves against such a danger. So if you have grown much, ask yourself seriously, who helped you to grow? If you are discerning and wise, who helped you along the way? Now, this is something that we need to look at. We're not asking that the name of the person be uplifted or exalted, far from it. But to rather remain humble and realize that we won't be where we are if we had not received help along the way. And we should never forget the people whom the Lord has sent into our lives to help us to grow as we should. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us to think of all that he has come to do for us, giving us salvation, giving us knowledge, giving us wisdom. And along the way, he sends out his servants, the apostles. And we pray that you will teach us how to benefit from all the things that we have learned. Help us to remember and to thank you for all the godly servants of yours that you have sent to encourage and bless our lives. We pray that you teach us how we can treasure this reality. Help us to remain humble before you at all times. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.